Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, what it do? Man, this is the Sunday edition of Talking Shit with Stacks. Of course, I am the boy, Big Stacks 100. You dig? Shit, you know, I got my brother tonight. He's on for the ride. Yo, introduce yourself, G.
You know, it's Big Links 414. Twitter, Instagram, hit me up. You know, I'm the voice of the streets right now, man. So, it's good.
Word, word. Man, we're going to, you know what I'm saying, the network's on. New York, he'll be in a little bit. You know what I'm saying? We got a special guest calling in and shit in a little bit. You know, they're going to be talking a little basketball and shit with us. But right now, you know, we have the fight that happened last night. You know, me and you are in the boxing real heavy. You know what I'm saying? And matter of fact, before we get into that, you know what I'm saying? Man, the King of the New York, King of the North is on the line. Introduce yourself, G. Tell them who you are right quick.
Yeah, man. King of the North, New York. You know what I'm saying? Coliseum, all that good shot society. What's good with y'all, man? How y'all feeling?
Chilling.
Good,
hey, Link is on the line with us, G.
Yeah. I heard. What's good, bro? How you, man?
Oh, man. You know, just living, man. Just living, man.
Oh, yeah.
So,
my fault.
Before we
go on, man, special, you know what I'm saying? Happy Father's Day. Shout out to the both of y'all.
Oh, you know what I'm saying?
Real fathers doing real things.
Yeah, man. Happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day for real.
Word.
Yeah.
Appreciate that.
Yeah. Like I said, we was gonna touch upon, you know what I'm saying, a little boxing yesterday. You know, this was Andre Ward, Sergey Kirilov, Part 2. Kovalev. Let me get the name right. Andre Ward versus Sergey Kovalev 2. And the first one, quote unquote, you know, from the boxing idiots, ended in controversy. But to boxing purists like myself, we saw Andre Ward, you know, get knocked down early in the first fight and come back and box his way and beat Kovalev. And they said it was a controversial decision. So last night we had part two of the fight, you know what I mean? And that, I guess, also ended in controversy, you know, due to Kovalev saying that it was a low blow that ended everything. And so, you know, man, look, I watched the whole fight. And, fam, Andre Ward was basically putting hands on the man, you know what I'm saying, until the end. And, man, the last round basically showed, you know what I'm saying, that he hurt the boy Kovalev. He hit him with a strong right, and he hit him with body punches to finish him off. One might have slipped, but they were saying three or four slipped, you know what I'm saying, and hit him low. It might have been one. Previous to that one, you know what I'm saying, he was trying to take breaks and shit on the referee, and the referee caught him, you know what I'm saying, where he was hitting him on the belt line. The belt line was actually high for this fight. And the ref was like, nah, man, you good. Go back in there. Stop playing. You know what I mean? So with all that controversy going, basically Andre Ward knocked him out. The referee stopped the fight. Kovalev stopped fighting in the middle of the eighth round. I scored the fight as I went with no sound. I don't get influenced by any HBO people or whatever. I had the fight. It was close. Andre Ward was up by 1 point, you know what I'm saying, at that point. So,
right.
Man, we're gonna see what's going on, you know what I'm saying, on your behalf. I spoke my piece. I said what it is. He was up. He was beating his ass. You know, he was starting to take over the fight, you know, if you ask me. Links, I know you had got a chance to see it, man. Speak your piece.
Well, prior to the TKO round where the ref stopped it, I had Andre Ward up 4-3. He was starting to dominate the fight. Like, I felt he lost the first couple of rounds. I felt he won round three. So he lost round four, but then five, six, seven, like he came on very strong. And then, of course, with the straight right that buckled him, pretty much knocked him out on his feet, per se. You know what I'm saying? And then after that, it was pretty much slow motion. Just for the controversial, you know, and the bloggers and the people that saying, no, it was a low blow, it was this, that, whatever, I can't speak to nobody but myself. I've had a low blow taken on me before. You ain't talking about it, and you're not standing when that happens. Like, that's impossible. So for him to say he got hit with multiple low blows in the same round, but yet he's up standing without a five, the mandatory 2 minutes and this, that, whatever, that's baloney, man. So Andre Ward went in there and did work. He did what he's supposed to do. He brought it home. So that's all I seen with it.
Word. New York, did you get a chance to see the fight, G? Or did you hear anything about it?
Yeah, man. I didn't get a chance to watch it, man. You know, I've been trying to get into more of the sports and shit like that. Now, I'm you know, you're going to have to school me a little bit now. I heard you guys mentioned the first fight, there was some controversy or something like that. Now, I think I heard an interview of one of the boxers. I'm not sure if this is the same fight. I would imagine so, because it was getting some press. I guess the first fight, maybe they found out one of the boxers was doping or something like that. Is this the same one?
Nah, you have a totally different fight.
So what was the controversy behind this one the first time?
The first they were basically saying that Ward lost the fight because he had got knocked down early. You know, like I said, I watch boxing without the sound. He got knocked down early, but he came back and won, in my opinion, enough rounds, and he took the title from him. And the controversy is they don't think he won enough rounds.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. So this is a different fight than the other one. All right, I'm going to get into it with this one. Now, I saw something else, and they were talking about, and it was I believe it was a rematch, and then I think they had one more scheduled. They were talking about that. Because it was all leading up to them talking about the Floyd and McGregor shit or whatever, man. But nah, I'm gonna check that out. You're gonna have to send me the names afterwards and shit. Because there were a couple of, I have to look back, man. And it was actually a good interview. Like some of the stuff he was talking about. Now the two that you're talking about now, is this like light heavyweight or heavyweight? Like,
Yeah, man.
I believe they were around the same class, so. He was giving some of the insight about, you know what I mean, the doping and why, you know what I'm saying, a lot of the littler guys use it, trying to, you know, I guess it was like a cash grab or something like that, but then their skill, it was something like that, like their stamina, their skill shows, something like that, man. So it was actually a good little interview. I'm going to go back and grab them for you, but nah, I missed this one, man. I missed this one.
Word. Man, I know New York, we had started on your show, what was it, Thursday evening? You know, we was talking about, you know, some of the NBA things and whatnot.
Yeah.
And, man, I wanted to bring in one of my homeboys or whatever from Twitter. You know, we're going to bring him on the line right now. Yo, introduce yourselves.
What's going on, fellas? This is Ryan, number one Cleveland Cavaliers fan. Paul George
Advocate.
Oh, yeah, my
boy.
You know, man. What's going on, guys? Hope you guys are well tonight.
Yeah, this is my boy.
What's
man.
Good,
what's
man?
Good, bro?
What's going on, man? What are we talking about?
Yeah.
What's the subject
yeah,
matter?
This is how we gonna set it up. You know what I'm saying? Since Ryan is on the line right quick, we're gonna touch back on the NBA finals that was. And you know, I'm gonna give my opinion right quick and I'm gonna let y'all, you know, come through whenever y'all want. But the way I see it like this is Ryan, I see you on Twitter right now, you know, loading up for Paul George or whatnot. Paul George is not what's going to help Cleveland beat Golden State. I mean, Golden State showed their head and shoulders above Cleveland, you know, outside of a historic night. And to be honest with you, in my opinion, the one and only person that can come to Cleveland to this right now on this day and help them beat Golden State is Klay Thompson. If they take Klay Thompson and put him on Cleveland, hey, they won. Outside of that, man, they ain't got no shot. No matter who you add, whether Jimmy Butler, Carmelo Anthony, or whoever, y'all are finished. So, you know, with that, man, I'm gonna give my man a chance to rebuttal. You know what I'm saying, Ron? What you got to say to that? How you feeling about it?
Okay, so. Yeah, I'm not really going to address what you just said because that's ridiculous. Let's talk about it. So your whole thing is the Cavs are so far away from Golden State. We should do what then? We should basically just run it back with the same team or just give up and not even try and get better? far as like,
I
mean, what should they?
You can
like,
get better. Just go get a rim protector. You'll be good.
So if you get a rim protector, who's guarding Durant and like who's guarding Klay Thompson? Is a rim protector guarding KD? Is he guarding Klay Thompson? Like here's
yeah,
the thing.
But truthfully speaking, they pick and roll 90% of their offense, man. Like all they did the switch. So they had Kevin Love and Tristan Thompson and Richard Jefferson trying to hold Klay Thompson and Kevin Durant and those boys. So
yeah, no, that's the thing. Like a rim protector is not going to help you beat Golden State. I mean, it sounds good and all, as far as like, you know, if you're competing against the other 28 teams in the league, like obviously you have to have somebody protect the paint. But as far as like what's going to be a good matchup for Golden State, they have to get a. First of all, they have to get more athletic. I think the one thing you could see from the finals is, as good as the Cavs were, Golden State was just a step quicker, like pretty much on offense and defense. So you have to get more athletic. So you might as well get more athletic and get, you know, the same production out of, you know, your third star. Like Kevin Love gives you 20 points, but he doesn't give you much defense. So if you can get an upgrade on defense with Paul George and still get 20, 25 points, I mean, it definitely brings you closer to beating Golden State. So, you know,
well,
I don't think
question,
it's a big gap.
My question
either.
Then lies, who brings in the 21 rebounds that Kevin Love brought in game one? Like, Kevin Love is a tremendous rebounder. So who steps up to the plate and gets those rebounds that, you know, that potentially is left open, which you're getting rid of Kevin Love?
So how many rebounds did Kevin Love average in the finals? Like 10?
It was more than Tristan Thompson, I know
that.
So you don't think
you
don't think Paul George could average 8 rebounds and LeBron could bump his rebounds from like 8 to 10?
I didn't say it wasn't possible. I just said, what do we got now?
I mean, here's the thing, you're not getting Klay Thompson from Golden State, so you have to do something that's realistic. The Paul George move, the reason why I like it so much is I think it's realistic. It's not like I'm saying we're going to trade for Anthony Davis, we're going to trade for Kawhi Leonard. Like, obviously, you know, those put you above Golden State. But, I mean, Paul George gets you pretty darn close. Here's the thing. They weren't like – everybody wants to make it out like there's some big talent discrepancy. There's really not between the Warriors and the Cavs. Like, the series easily could have been 2-2 going back to Golden State. Like,
uh-huh.
And then everything changes. But. Yes or no? Like the series could have been 2-2 going back to.
I absolutely agree, man. I think it could have. I do. I'm not gonna lie, but I don't know, man. I really want to hear. You know, man. You know where I'm going with it. I want to hear what you think the moves are gonna be made for your team this year. What do you need, and what do you honestly think is gonna happen? With what's going on today, because, you know, we're going to get into the draft and the trade made by the genius, the evil scientist that we love and hate over here. But, yeah, I want to hear that, man. You said Paul George, so what do you think, like, where the moves you're going to make? What's going on, man? I want to hear this from a Cavs fan. I need this.
Well, I mean, that's the first domino to fall. I mean, I'm not going to necessarily sit here and say – who they should get to play on the bench. But I think the most important thing is I think you have to make that trade first. I mean, they obviously have to get younger and better defensively on the bench. Like, I mean, that's the second thing I would do. I don't know how you're going to do that because you don't have a lot of assets besides Kevin Love as far as acquiring better players. But, you know, I'll tell you one guy that probably I wouldn't mind coming to the Cavs would be Vince Carter. You know, if Jefferson retires, Vince Carter is a free agent. So I wouldn't be mad at that.
That's actually a good pickup.
I mean, he's probably a little bit better defensively at this point in his career than Richard Jefferson is. He shoots better than Richard Jefferson, too. So, you know, I could see them making a move like that, but I don't know. It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough to make moves. That's why I'm so enamored with the Paul George thing, because when you can get, like, a superstar, even a star in their prime, I mean, you kind of have to do it. So, I mean, that's a no-brainer for me.
But this is the question, though. Does Indiana bite for Kevin Love, though? I mean, does he fit into what they want to do?
I mean, they really don't have a – like, they at this point, they can get what they can get.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a renting year for him. Well, you're kind of renting the car. Like he said, he's not coming back, you know. And that's probably one of the hardest things in trading. It's like, yo, he clearly doesn't want, you know, he might even have somewhere that he wants to go, like L.A. He might have somewhere where he already wants to go, you know what I'm saying? So you're telling teams, like, yeah, I need this from you and this from you, and I'll give you Paul George. And he's like, yo, but he said he has somewhere in his head, you know what I'm saying? Like, that is, I think that is tough. Like, but on that same note,
my question is this, though.
At this point,
my question is this, right quick. If you're trading for Paul George and you know he's a quote-unquote rental, why do you give up Kevin Love, who signed for the next 3 years? Why do you give
up
Kevin
Love,
who signed for a
rental? LeBron's a free agent in 2018. You have to do everything you can to keep LeBron satisfied. Like,
exactly. Exactly.
It might sound like that's not the way to, like, run a team necessarily, cater around one player, but when that player is LeBron and he holds literally the future of your franchise in his hands, you have to go all in for 2018. You can't come back with the same team and just get rocked off the floor again.
And I'm glad you said that, man. I'm glad you said that. See, that leads into my crazy theory of what I think Bron is trying to do, man. And shout out to my Celtics, man. Y'all made me proud again. It made me proud. I don't know what we got cooking up, but I know we got another trade in store somewhere.
You got
going
Jimmy
on.
Butler cooking up is what you got.
See,
up
look, hey, look, let's see now. And I've been, you know, I'm excited, so I got a little cheat sheet. And shit. I'm gonna give you guys a cheat sheet, but this is what I think LeBron's gonna do. I think you guys go out, you get Drew Holiday, or you go get Chris Paul, who's to take a pay cut. Chase 1 year with LeBron over at Cleveland, and if not, you know, go in the Spurs or wherever else he wants to go. You move Kyrie over to the two because he clearly doesn't want to play the one. You move him over to the two. Now you got that solved. You let JR, I mean, he already fucked up. He gave all those people that money. Tristan, he gave JR all the money and stuff. So you can't really sign anybody that great. It has to be a trade, or you have to convince somebody to just take that 1 year pay cut. Like, and word, like you said, chase that ring for that 1 year. And I think he's going to get a point guard, and I think he goes and gets maybe a big, just for the sake, like you said, not a rim protector, but somebody who can, you know, score in the paint, because I don't see anybody on the post game and on Cavs except for Love, but Love wasn't, you know what I mean, defensive-wise, he wasn't doing shit because of his back or knees or whatever the problem was this year. I'm going to throw out some names that just this year, restricted and unrestricted free agents. I got the list right here. We're going to start off with Rudy Gay.
You're talking about as Cavaliers?
No, I'm just saying all through the league. Just, you know, little pieces, free agents, stuff like this. This year, that's coming off. Steph Curry, Durant, we know. Hayward, Blake Griffin, Chris Paul, Ty Lowry, Paul Millsap, Drew Holiday, Gallinari, Serge Ibaka, Gasol, Wade, George Hill, Otto Porter, Greg Monroe, Jeff Teague, Iguodala, Noel, J.J. Redick, Dirk Nowitzki, and it decreases in talent as it goes. But being that these are the years that people are trying to chase that ring, and it seems like, you know, people don't care so much about those super teams, I could see this year being a year where instead of chasing the money, which is what people have been tending to do, niggas go to just that super team, wherever they think their friends are at, where they can form up and be somebody, whether it be the Spurs organization. I think they're going to make some moves that are going to shock everybody. But, you know, I think a bunch of players, superstars, are going to go help LeBron try to get a ring in the Cleveland, man.
No,
I really do.
I agree with you 100%. I don't even think it's just going to be to the Cavs. I think you're going to see Boston get a couple guys. I think you're going to see, like you said, Stanis. Here's why. Because the other 26 teams in the league besides Boston, Cleveland, San Antonio, and Golden State, they really know that for the next 3 years, they don't have any chance in, you know what, to – you know, win a championship. Like, I think you're going to see a lot of teams trading stars and kind of rebuilding for the future and just kind of almost packing it up for the next 3 years. Like, yo, we just can't beat Golden State and Cleveland. Like, we're not going to go all – like, if you're Indiana or you're Milwaukee or you're Miami, are you going to go all in for the next 2 years and try and beat the Cavs and the Warriors? Or if you're Memphis or Utah, I just don't see that. Like, I don't see that at all. I think you're going to, like you said, see a bunch of super teams. Boston might be the, you know, the next one. And other than that, you're going to have a lot of bad teams. I mean, that's just kind of where we're at with it.
Yeah.
All right, let me interject right quick. Hey, Lynx, I want to hear from you, G. You ain't spoke on it. Let me, what you got to say on this?
Well, as a whole, I like Boston if they get Blake Griffin because Boston plays defense. I don't care how good you shoot, what you got, how you stretch the floor. You got a four team that plays defense and Blake Griffin plays defense. I would like them to beat even Cleveland coming out the East. But as far as what Cleveland needs to do to get better.
But continue.
Yeah, but as far as what I feel Cleveland needs to do to get better, I would let Williams, Shannon Fry, and James Jones go to clear up my cap space. I try to trade J.R. Smith and Shumpert to get something. I don't know what you're going to get. And if you let, you know, the Shannon Frys and them go, I think you can get Gallinari for about $2-3 million a year. I don't, because he's not that big of a – somebody will pay him. They'll overpay him, obviously. But to give him $2-3, even $5, if you get rid of that, you clean up by $5, to give him $5 million a year, you know, just give him 2 years with a player option. You know, so he ain't locked up in case LeBron leaves and stuff, whatever. That could formidable, you know, really, really help that bench because I think game five, the bench gave him, what, 5 points or something. So he can get you more than five. He's a shooter. He don't mind playing defense. Has a decent mid-range game. So they can get better that way depending on what they get, you know, off the trade. But it ain't looking too good, man. But if they keep the same team they have, you will have to hope Boston doesn't get better. You will have to hope that Chicago doesn't get better. You will have to hope Washington doesn't get better. You will have to hope Jabari Parker stays hurt for the Bucks.
Why would you have to hope those teams don't get better? What do you mean? What does that mean?
In my opinion, this year was a down year.
What would you mean they have to get better? What does that
because
mean?
I personally think the series would have went to seven if Washington would have beat Boston and made it to the conference finals. I personally think he would have went seven. So
but
if
you don't really
like,
have
look,
anything
like,
to base that off of necessarily. Like, what are you basing that off of?
I'm basing it off this. I'm going to tell you this. During the regular season, let's start from point A to point B. You had LeBron James. You had Kyrie Irving. You had Tyronn Lue saying, we want to see the Bucks in the playoffs. And we want them to beat Toronto before the season because we want to be the team to put them out. They're better than Toronto, this, that, whatever. So you're looking at a Bucks team with hurt players and they second best offensive score and Jabari Parker is down. You're looking at Washington, who has been there in the second round 2-3 years now, can't get over the hump. So if they get better, they become a formidable squad because Kyrie Irving doesn't play defense. And they got two guards and you got a guard, a small forward and Porter that can play the small forward or the point guard. So when you don't have when your second best player doesn't play defense, he has to be a monster on offense. And when he's
that sounds good, but the Wizards didn't beat the Celtics, and the Cavs made the Celtics look like a D League team. So I don't know what you're basing that off of. Besides the fact,
here's the thing: you got to base it on matchup. Just because one team did this to this team doesn't mean another team will. So. Case in point, I'm going to give you a boxing reference.
Right, but the Wizards don't play any defense, and the Cavs don't lose to teams who don't play defense. Like, how the Wizards don't
the
play
Wizards
like
do
a
play
defense.
Defense. They do play well, defense. And they have way more offense than Boston Celtics has. Boston Celtics is all defense. They don't have a legitimate score besides Isaiah Thomas.
Are you a Wizards fan?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm not.
Well, who's your team?
I'm the Clippers all day long.
Oh, the Clippers. Okay, so you like the teams that disappoint in the playoffs and have no chance of going to the finals. That's why you're sticking up for the Wizards?
They don't got nothing to do with it. I like who I like. They don't got nothing to do with it.
No, I'm just saying. You said you were a Clipper. It makes sense. Now, I got it. I'm not even going to cut your wisdom anymore, sir. I got it. I get it.
Clippers got that Jerry West thing, man. That they gonna They gonna shake some luck too. And bye bye Blake Griffin, like nigga said, he out of there. Bye bye Redick. Yeah, Clippers gonna be dangerous this year, man. As long as they don't pick up Melo. If y'all pick up Melo, y'all ain't gonna be shit. They ain't gonna go good, man. Don't get Melo, man. I'm telling you.
Yo, this the thing though, right? You know what? Going back to what Lynx was talking about with the Washington and Cleveland shit. First off, they just match up better with Cleveland. They're not scared of Cleveland. That's one thing that Boston lacked. That's one thing Toronto lacked. Toronto got ran off the court because they're scared of them. Like, shit,
do you remember
you
we had the same conversation last? We had the same conversation last year about how all the teams in the East were going to beat the Cavs last year. I'm pretty sure around the same time, right around NBA draft time. We were hearing that Boston, Miami, Indiana, they were all going to beat the Cavs. Now it's the Wizards. Like, who else is going to? I understand people want the Cavs to lose and they're tired of LeBron going to the finals. But the Cavs are you can write the Cavs in pen right now to go back to the finals. Like, you can bet your house on it next year. There's literally no chance they lose in the East next year.
I mean, we'll see. I don't know, man. I don't know. I didn't think they was going to win this year neither, honestly. I don't know, man. The East, like, people just, I don't know. The East isn't really that, like, going to the finals all these times, that is fire. You got some room for that. But like people said, man, the East has been trash. Like, you can make it in the playoffs a few times recent years
with a losing record.
It's not
is trash or the Wizards are good. It can't be both.
They are good. The Wizards are good, but you know they're not great. And I think they matched up way better than the Celtics. I was on record as saying, honestly, because of my hate for LeBron, because you know I'm from that era where fuck all this friendly shit, man. I hate everybody else's team. Like, yo, if you're not my team, I hate you. You know what I'm saying? So
it's all coming
really
out
it is
now,
with
bro.
LeBron.
I got you.
No. And mainly because of LeBron fans. Like, not all of them, but mainly because of LeBron. And it was the same thing that happened with Kobe. Like, Kobe, nobody really cared. And then Kobe did some stuff, you know, that was like, yo, you're kind of a cornball. But it was the Kobe stans that made you hate him. It was like, yo, are you kidding me? Like, you know what I'm saying? So it's really more the LeBron stuff where the media and stuff like that. But that's beyond the point. I was on record as saying, I think if we lose, which, you know, I thought we were going to get swept by the Wizards, but when that series first, you know what I'm saying, got put together, I thought that the Wizards matched up better against the Cavs. So I do agree with that. I think John Wall would have gave you guys a lot of problems. Might have been soft, but I think he would have gave you guys a lot of problems because, yeah, I don't know, man. Defense wise, at that point guard and two guard position, if y'all punch somebody in the mouth and he stands back up, y'all don't do too well with him. Lowry. Lowry disappeared. Rosen did his thing, but he's not that killer player. And again, it's the fucking East. So yeah, there are two, three great teams, and then the rest are trash, man. But the rest are trash, so it's not that great. But if somebody else, you know, like you said, if another super team forms up, then nah, man, Cavs don't have that. I don't think Cavs have that cakewalk. And I honestly, on that same point, just in this one, I don't think that difference between the Warriors and every other team in the league is that great. Because before Kawhi went down, they were down 20 points. And we've seen them go down 20 points before and come back and win. But nah, man, I'm not buying it. I honestly don't think that they would have got out that series with the Spurs. As great as they are, I don't trust that. I don't trust Mike Brown coaching against Popovich and even Steve Kerr coming back. He's a great coach, man, but I trust the Spurs system over a system with a brand new Kevin Durant. That's great, man, but he gets nullified by Kawhi and a lot of other factors. I had Spurs taking that series, man, so I don't think the gap between Warriors and the whole rest of everything is as big as LeBron's gap over every other team. I think every other team in the East is scrambling to beat LeBron's team. But I don't think it's close. Facts. That's me, though.
Let me interject right quick, G. The way I look at it is, once again, if teams would stop playing scared to these people, fam, I'm a UConn fan, right? I watch women's basketball. UConn is my favorite team. half the time they beat that man, they beat the hell out of teams just because teams just, they find it worthy to be on the floor with them, and they play scared against them. The sole reason why they lost this year, you know what I'm saying, is because the team that showed up to play them wanted to punch them in the mouth, and they wanted to stand on the floor with them and show them that they should have been on the floor with them. Cleveland is not unbeatable, just like Golden State is not unbeatable. Like, what New York was just saying, just San Antonio wasn't scared of them. So it wouldn't have been a problem for San Antonio to play ball with them. You feel what I'm saying? Like, that's all you have to do is show up. I'm not scared to, like, man, hey, listen, if I'm playing ball, we all human at the end of the day. Ain't nobody, you might have a little bit more talent than me, but shit, do you have more heart? You feel what I'm saying? We just saw, matter of fact,
I mean, so you don't think the guys were trying as hard as they could have? I mean, is that what you're saying?
Bam. Shit, as for Toronto, hell no. Toronto got scared and they ran off the court. Toronto played,
I mean,
like
those guys wanted
bitches
to win just as bad as Cleveland did. You don't think?
Fam, they didn't have a belief that they could win, and that was the problem. Whereas I think
I mean
Wizards,
they're professionals at the end of the day.
I'm sure they thought they could win. Hey, everybody's a professional at something, and we all have doubts. And that's the thing. They let doubt creep in heavy for them.
If I'm not mistaken, DeRozan said the only way they can beat Cleveland is if they had LeBron James. He said that.
I mean, is he wrong?
That's doubtful.
Yeah,
that's saying the players that you got ain't good enough.
What I'm saying is you can like think you can beat somebody all you want, but at the end of the day, the NBA is a sport where the best team usually wins. It happens like pretty much every year. There's been like three or four instances
and at the end of the
where
day,
there's upsets.
Anybody can get beaten, correct?
Yeah, dude, but here's the thing. He goes to the finals 60% of the time, so it's not like they're crazy to think like they're on an uphill battle against LeBron and Kyrie and the Cavs. They're not as good. Just like the Cavs weren't as good as the Warriors this year. The Cavs had an uphill battle just like Toronto did. Like, as much as I'm a huge Cavs fan, I did not expect them to beat the Warriors this year. I expected to be competitive. But that doesn't mean the Cavs didn't want to win or they were scared of Golden State. Just like I don't think anybody's
scared
of them, scared of anybody.
I was talking about people going against the Cavs. The Cavs are definitely not scared of Golden State. That's not even what I was saying. What I'm saying is the team is going against the myth of Cleveland. You feel what I'm saying? And it shouldn't even be that way. That's what I'm talking about. There's other teams that I feel would have matched up better just because I don't think they would have played, you know, with their tail tucked between their legs, like.
So you guys got the Cavs losing in the Eastern Conference Finals next year.
It's not a race for the Cavs. It's a race for everybody that's in the East.
No. I'm just curious. I want the honest opinions. It sounds like Cavs aren't getting back to the NBA Finals next year. Is what we're saying.
No, I don't think so, man. I didn't think so this year, and y'all looked shaky a little bit, then y'all looked great, and then at the end of the season, man, it looked kind of clear unless y'all got the Wizards. Then I was like, nah, you know how the season is, man. Yo, I didn't think that Golden State would beat the Mavs that year. I didn't have them. I didn't think LeBron was going to beat the – let's go back to your boy. Nobody thought LeBron was going to score 25 points in a row to beat the Detroit Pistons. Like you said, man, this is, yo, Reggie Miller in the Pistons. Like, we can go back, man. Allen Iverson in the Sixers over the Pacers. It's in the East, there are some times where, you know what I'm saying, that power team is like, nah, something happens. Whether it be the chemistry. Yo, we witnessed one of the greatest fall aparts of a fake dynasty in history. So much so that we forgot about that Indiana team that everybody hyped like was going to be the biggest thing. And, yo, I fell into that dream too, I won't lie. Hibbert, who was it, Stevenson, Granger? What happened to Granger?
I mean, who thought that George? Team was going to be like a super team, though? I don't think anybody thought
man.
That.
Nah,
they?
Man. The media was pumping that, man. And people started to believe.
They were pumping
Indiana? They had that win streak going. And, until that magazine cover, yes. Yes.
But that was the same time Miami cover. Was in their prime with Wade and LeBron. They weren't pumping Indiana. They were pumping Miami.
Indiana went to the conference finals two straight years. One was a game seven,
yeah,
one was game
yeah,
six.
Exactly, man. You need a hero and a villain. You need the two sides of it to sell the story. Otherwise, it would have just been Miami. But see, the fall That's apart of Indiana, that was so crazy that you forget about that team almost altogether with the Lance Stevenson blowing in the ear. And all, like that, it just got crazy. It just got crazy. But before that, it looked like, yo, they were going to be together for a while. They were going to add some pieces, and that might have been something that was shaking up in Indiana, man, which is kind of why it's so sad to see, yo, if George does go over there, man, I think the storyline of this season is, do you want a ring or do you want to get paid? I think that's it. And I think you get to see where a lot of people's heart is as far as what they want with their career, man. Because, like you said, it's pretty clear, man. Super teams, yo, fuck it. Fuck it. We all, like, Durant, we all laughed at it. We're like, wow, that's like a cheat code. That's like an automatic ring. We fast forward. He has the ring there. And people don't respect it and whatever it is. You know, it's, fuck it, man. Go get that ring now. Fuck it. And so the door's open. Go get it. If you can get it, go get it.
Okay, so this is the next question I'll ask, right? Since we all, you know, we've talked it out, you know, this past year, what might happen, what could happen. I want everybody's just one big prediction. What big move do you think is going to happen over the summer? And what do you think is going to change the landscape of the NBA? Like, what, I mean, how is that move going to help or hurt whomever? You know what I'm saying? Link, I'm going to start with you. G, you've been the quiet one so far, so let me hear you.
I got Blake Griffin going to the Celtics, man. Griffin going to the Celtics.
Okay. Ryan, what about you?
I think that'll shift the fabric. So.
I'm going to come back to you, Link.
No,
Ryan,
I think there's two things, man. I think the one thing I would want to see, but I don't think it's gonna happen, I would love to see Chris Paul go to Milwaukee. As far as, like, you know, I think that's Chris Paul's best move, honestly. I don't think it'll happen, but, and obviously, you know, Paul George of the Cavs, what I've been saying. So I think that's more realistic. And then if I had something that I wish would happen as far as, like, you know, a superstar's career, I definitely think CP3 should go join up with the Greek Freak, Jabari Parker, and, you know, let Jason Kidd coach him to the conference finals. So that's what I would do.
All right, New York, what's your one big prediction for the summer, T?
Yeah, man. LeVar Ball bust. Lonzo Ball bust. The family's a bust. I think it's a bust. I think it's a bust, man. I know I got to wait a little bit for it to actually be called a bust, but all this hype around this motherfucker, man, I think that storyline's going to pick up and we're all going to laugh a little bit later, man. And I hope not, you know what I'm saying? Black man, get your money, all of this. Yo, he beat the system. He really did beat the college system, man, for real. So salute to that. He might have changed the landscape of some things, but I think that's a big story. As far as the free agents and shit, you know, Celtic-wise, I would love for us to get a Blake Griffin or a Butler or something, but I don't know, man. I really never know what Danny Ainge is doing, man. I think Rudy Gay is going to be a big move, and I honestly think he's going to go to Cleveland. I think Chris Paul is going to go to the Spurs, man, and chase that ring over there. But, yo, the one that I'm interested in to answer your question, yo, Melo. Wherever the fuck Melo goes, that's going to be the story, man. I don't think he's staying in New York. I think it's pretty much over for that shit. But, yo, I want to see where he goes. I really do. I would love to see him in a Bulls uniform finally. But, yeah, we'll see.
All right, Link, I'm going to go back to you, G. You said Blake Griffin to Boston. How's that going to change the landscape? Tell me what's up. You know what I'm saying? Give me your thoughts on that right quick.
Okay, let's say everything stays the same. You're looking at an older Dwayne Wade, old Chicago team. You're looking at a Washington team that's good, but they're soft down low. And then you're looking at, we just seen Kevin Love play the best ball he could, and it wasn't good enough being defended by Iguodala and the Draymond Green, who he's roughly got 20 to 30 pounds on. You give somebody who Blake Griffin, who has a way better post game. Like, if you look at game 3, when Draymond got 2 fouls in the first quarter, when Kevin Durant got 2 fouls in the first quarter, Kevin Love couldn't put them dudes with 3-4 fouls, but now they got to sit the rest of the half. He doesn't have that low post. He's a great shooter. I give him that. But Blake can go down in the post and baby something. Like, we've seen it, even though they've lost the games, We've seen Blake Griffin, Davey, them dudes down there in the post. So you go to a team that's defensive oriented. You got your score. You got everybody on the team is a, you know, a B plus, C plus at the least on defense. I think that helps. Like I think that tremendously helps. Plus they're in the East. So you're going to play the Detroit Pistons four times. You're going to play the Bobcats four. Like you're going to so you can. I'm not saying patch the stats, nothing like that. But you're going to play the Knicks four times. So you're looking at 20 to 30 wins automatically just in the East alone, if that moves happen. So, and I think the ultimate matchup is going to be the Cleveland one. I think it'll be tough. I don't know if they could beat Cleveland, but with Blake Griffin, I think that helps even the odds somewhat. If Cleveland wins, I wouldn't be shocked because at the end of the day, you got LeBron, and we all know that's something like that's like the ultimate cheat code type shit. You know what I'm saying? But if they was to beat him, I wouldn't be shocked. So, yeah, so I think Blake Griffin going to the Celtics can kind of even up the status in the East a little bit.
All right, Ryan, I'm going to jump back to you. You said Chris Paul to Miami is a dream. I mean, excuse me, to Milwaukee is a dream thing. How does that change the landscape?
No, I just think, like, from Chris Paul's perspective, and I agree with Blake to Boston. I think that's an intriguing – I think, just real quick on that, I think Blake Griffin will get to be more of a focal point, get the ball a little bit more, get the handle, pass, do more than he does in Los Angeles with Chris Paul kind of dominating the ball so much. So I definitely like Griffin to the Celtics. As far as Chris Paul goes, like, if you're him, I just don't know if, like, going to San Antonio and staying in the Western Conference is really, like, going to advance him to where he wants to get in his career. You know, I'm not saying, like, the Bucks with Chris Paul would necessarily make the finals or win a championship, but – I mean, he's never been past the second round. And if you put Chris Paul with, you know, that young team they got, Greek Freak, Parker coming back off the injury, they got a new stadium being built. I mean, I think it's an attractive position for a free agent besides the fact that it's Milwaukee. I mean, that's the only thing going against them. But basketball-wise, like, to me that makes more sense than San Antonio because, first off, if he goes to San Antonio, they're going to have to lose two or three key players. I don't think they're going to be able to afford him necessarily. So I don't even know how good that makes San Antonio. It definitely doesn't make them better than Golden State. I mean, they're probably still a little bit better than Houston, but I still see, like, a problem to where if they had to match up with Golden State in the second round, you know, that might be another year where he doesn't make it past the second round. So, you know, that's just how I look at it. Like, from Chris Paul's perspective, I mean, you're going from Los Angeles to Milwaukee. So as far as, like, you know, lifestyle and, you know, what would make the most common sense, it might not look like a good fit. But I don't know. That team's got – a lot of good young players. They got Middleton who can shoot. You know, Chris Paul can pass to him. They got Brogdon, the good rookie point guard from last year. You know, and obviously, you know, Giannis is a beast. So I think that would be Cleveland. I think that would be a way for Cleveland to have another competitive team in the East to go against. Because if you put Chris Paul in Milwaukee, I'm not sure Boston's the second best team in the East anymore. Unless they got, you know, Blake Griffin and Jimmy Butler. If they don't get Blake Griffin and Jimmy Butler, I'm not sure they're better than that Milwaukee team. Do you guys think they are?
Nah, I don't.
Go ahead. That's your thing, G.
Oh. Yo, man. I'm on record. There was two teams I didn't want to get matched up against in the playoffs. You know what I'm saying? Milwaukee and the Wizards. I thought the Wizards were going to sweep us. You know what I'm saying? I'm proud of my guys. And, I mean, our bench is way better, you know what I'm saying? But I don't know, man. We're so young and shit. Word, I'm not sure. But I think we're coached better than Jason Kidd, man. I think Brad Stevens as a coach is better than Jason Kidd as a coach, man.
Yeah, you have a huge coach, for sure.
Yeah, and in the playoffs, you know, that's one of the things that if anything you could see this year, man, yo, Mike Brown was clown juice, even in his fucking week and a half up there. You look at the Warriors different, man. Like, yo, if your leader's a fucking clown, I'm looking at your office. Like, you guys gotta be fucking dweebs in there. You know what I'm saying? And yo, as much as you love some guys, man, it's just not a good look. Jason Kidd, he's looked at great. He can teach the point guards and all of that. He could teach a lot of the floor. So he could teach a lot of stuff, man. He's better than a lot of people, but man, yo, when you have a great coach, it is intimidating in the playoffs, man. And I think that is an advantage that we have over pretty much every team in the East, maybe exception one or two people right now. And I think that's one of our saving graces, man. So I'm not really worried about, you know, what players go elsewhere in the East, man. Like I said, I'm more worried about who goes with LeBron. that's pretty much it at this point.
Links, what about you? Think that Bucks team would be better than Boston?
I'm gonna be honest with you. I told you this for the, you know, I told you this sidebar for the playoffs started. If Parker was healthy, they get out the first round. Like, I would have put them up against anybody in the East except for Cleveland, because I know they didn't have enough. But
I agree, man.
Both of them play defense. You know, Jabari Parker's defense, like this year before he went hurt, you know, the opponent's shooting percentage, everything was down. Like, he was blocking up, doing this thing. Plus, him and Giannis, they not the same player, but they both can do the same thing. I think Parker's a little better shooter. But you talking about mid-range, post-game, driving the lane when they want. If you watch these dudes play, they not really taking long outside shots. All they shots from them, they can't stop them from getting to the basket. And somebody, then you put Brogdon, who I think is extremely underrated. Thon Maker, he's going to be a – I think he's Tyson Chandler-type player that's a little bit better ball handling, but not by much. So, like, I felt if Parker was there, they would have ran through Toronto, but the second round would have been Cleveland. So I think they would have got at least a game or two with Cleveland. But, yeah, so if you can add that to that, that'd be Eastern Conference Finals at the bare minimum, in my opinion.
Well, that gives you three guys that can score 30 on any given night. And in the NBA, when you have three guys that can get you 30 – Parker, Giannis, and even Chris Paul on a good night can get you 30. I mean, you got a chance against anybody, really. There's really no team who you can't score with necessarily, and they already play good defense. So, I think that would be a force. Even if they don't get Chris Paul, I think they're going to be really good next year. I mean, obviously, he would kind of put them over the top, but no, that team's definitely on the rise. And that's a team, as a Cavs fan, I would want to avoid them if possible. I'm not saying we wouldn't beat them, but they would definitely give us everything we wanted to as far as,
hey,
you know, tough games.
And to maybe, you know, piggyback on what Stacks was saying, I'm going to just keep it 100. The Bucks is to the point they're still young. They don't know no better. So when they play the Golden States, the Clevelands, they don't know they're not supposed to play hard. They don't understand they're not supposed to win. They expect to win every single game. Like, you seen Jabari Parker they talking about on the TNTs, and he's getting fined because he's being outspoken, saying we're not supposed to lose to Minnesota. We're not supposed to lose to the Bobcats. We're better than them. He believes he can beat anybody. He don't care who's out there. So that mindset is going to take them further than, in my opinion, the Toronto. Or, you know what I'm saying? So,
no, I agree, man. They're definitely scarier than Toronto is. Like, there's no doubt about it. I know Toronto won that series, but going into that series when Milwaukee was playing Toronto, I told my buddy, I said, I'm rooting for Toronto. Like, I would much rather play Toronto than play Milwaukee. There's no doubt about it.
All right, you know
what? About it.
My thing, I'm going to, you know, I let everybody go and run it off right quick. I never gave my prediction, you know, my major prediction for the summer, you know. You know, just like we got the Cavaliers fan on the phone, we got the Celtic fan on the phone, we got, you know, the Clipper fan on the phone, I am a Miami fan. And with being a Miami fan, we got, you know, Pat Riley, who's one of the best, you know, at what he does. My major move this summer, you know, with Paul George announcing that he doesn't really want to be in Indiana, I think Miami has the pieces to go and get Paul George, meaning Tyler Johnson's contract. It's a fucked up contract, but he's a decent player. They trade Tyler Johnson, Justice Winslow, the 14th pick, maybe throw in a Josh McRoberts, and I think Indiana talks. I think they go with that. I don't know if it's enough if Cleveland would offer Kevin Love, but I think you'll get them in the same, you know, on the phone line at least. So that's my major move, you know, for the NBA upcoming or whatnot. But I also see, in my opinion, I see Boston with the move that they made yesterday. I see them going after a Blake Griffin and a Jimmy Butler at the same time. So that could be another big move. Now, as far as Chris Paul coming to the Bucks, I like it and I don't like it. The the reason why I like it is because he's an older guy. He can teach these guys. He can mold them because they're young. Yo, this is what's right. This is what's wrong. You feel what I'm saying? The only thing that I don't like about the Bucks, and I will never like about the Bucks as long as he's here, is Jason Kidd. That is the deciding factor on why I don't feel that they'll ever be great is because of him.
A lot of Jason Kidd slander on the phone tonight. Did Jason Kidd, like, what? Give me the rundown on Jason Kidd. Why is everybody so anti-Jason Kidd?
Because he can't fucking
coach. I'll start off with, New York, man, Brooklyn Nets and shit. You know, I got to see a little bit. Like, you know, celebrities.
Didn't they go to the
New
finals
York
with Jason Kidd?
Man, listen.
Did who go to the finals with Jason
Kidd?
No. I'm saying, as a player, didn't he lead the Nets to the finals?
We're not talking about as a player. As a player, he got the high.
Oh, you're talking about just
as a
you're
coach,
talking about just strictly as a coach.
Yeah.
As a coach.
Yeah.
Oh, okay,
so you
okay.
you know yeah I was saying you know I don't and you know. You know, everybody knows I kind of hate Ohio personally just because of my little situation. You know what I'm saying? Lovely place, lovely people. Hate this situation. All right, now, New York, man, with celebrities. We see celebrities all the time. You know, we get to kind of interact with them and shit like that. Jason Kidd, during his time in Brooklyn, was very telling to me as a coach, man, just his lifestyle outside, off the court and stuff, you know. And, I don't know. I just have a different vision for what I want my coaches to be doing. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a huge city. There's a lot of stuff to do. I just don't, like, to me, he just hasn't matured, man. He's still kind of that teacher that wants you to be the front player
is what you're saying.
Yeah, man. He's still that teacher that wants you to, like, oh, yeah, you could bring your iPod to class, man. Just when a teacher comes in, you know, hide it. You know what I'm saying? I don't think that helps you win a finals game. You know what I'm saying? And he's really – he seemed like that off the court. I didn't run into him, like talking to him and shit. But just people I know, you know what I mean, who work in different places and shit like that in the city and Brooklyn and stuff. Yeah, man. And you can even – you kind of seen it leak over like that. That one play where he kind of like tripped – he didn't like trip the ref, but he like knocked the ball out or something. It was like some goofy-ass – yeah, yeah, man, like, come on, man. Like, it's just little shit like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, come on, bro. This isn't fucking 1995. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know what the fuck he thinks this is. 2017 is a million cameras on it. You can't even say maggot on TV without them reading your lips and finding you later. You know what I'm saying? Like, come on, bro. You know what I'm saying? But, word, I don't see it. I don't see him as a coach. Like you said, it's just he's not mature enough. As a player, he's great, and I don't think he's reached his potential that way. As a coach, and I don't see him ever doing it because I didn't see him like that as a player where you were scared to go up against Jason Kidd. You knew he was smart, but he just didn't have that, like, intimidating factor, man. And like I said, some people, smart or not, man, it's just like, yo, he's smart, but he's more of a sneaky smart. You know what I'm saying? It's just, I don't know. Right. It's just not the same for me. But that's where I kind of lose my respect for him as a coach as opposed to a player. So that's my problem with him personally, though.
Yeah, like I said, he just can't coach, man. When it comes down to it,
I'm
fantastic player, man. But as far as the X's and O's and putting everybody where they need to be on the court, I just don't think he has it. That goes from the rotation to how he plays the players. It's just, man, his style just ain't for me. Like, you know what I mean? He's not that good of a coach, in my opinion.
That's understandable, and you would know more than me, you know, as far as your proximity to Milwaukee, but – as far as, like, them, didn't they overachieve this year, though? I mean, I know they got a lot of young talent, but they did better than they were expected to do. He had to have done something.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Let me ask you.
And he had a major injury, too. Like,
is Giannis a top five player in the NBA right now?
Yeah, but so is Anthony Davis, and the Pelicans stink. So, I mean, you got to give him some credit for making the playoffs.
But look, what's surrounding Anthony Davis compared to what's surrounding Giannis over here on the Bucks? Anthony Davis is a top five dude, but he doesn't have. I don't even look at Parker as being that nice. So that you're talking to the wrong one over here. Brogdon is nice.
No,
he had a decent point guard.
I'm just saying, like,
and he's a top five player in the league.
What did we expect them to do last year?
Yeah,
nobody
I would
really
say they overachieved for their position.
Though.
Yeah, I don't credit that to kid, man. I just maybe a player development that I'm not seeing. You know, like there's locker room shit that people don't see and shit like that. You know what I'm saying? Like
you
people
don't
forget
think he gets
Tyronn
for, like,
Lue on the bench and shit like that. You said what?
My bad, I didn't mean to cut you off, sir. I was just asking
you
a question.
Good.
You don't think he gets any credit for Brogdon playing so well, though? I mean,
he
play a big role in that.
Yeah, see,
you
and
see
like
Brogdon
I said, like, some player development and shit, but, man, I just –
Go back.
Hold on, New York.
Hold on, New York.
Go
back.
Ahead,
let's go back. Did you see Brogdon play in college? Because if you look at those Virginia
really
teams that Brogdon led, he's been the same player.
But he wasn't like a highly touted prospect out of college.
He was a second rounder.
Well,
we have a lot of second rounders that fall through and end up being great in the end.
But I mean, why doesn't the coach get credit for making a second round NBA draft pick turn into a really good rotation player on a playoff team, like as a rookie? That's really good, isn't it?
Then let me ask you this. Then who was at fault for Darius Miles being a bust?
For Darius Miles being a bust?
I mean, I'm just throwing a name out. If you're
right, drugs.
No, but what I'm saying is, if you're going to give the credit, like man, if you're going to give the credit to the coach, then who deserves it when the player doesn't work out?
Hey.
No, I'm not saying he gets all the credit. Like, don't get me wrong. You got to go out and play the game. I'm not saying he's solely responsible for the players playing well, but I just think when you look at it, like from the players on their team, I think they all had pretty good seasons. I mean, he's got to put those guys in a position to succeed, and if they all play pretty well or above expectation, I think he should get some credit for that. This is my opinion, though.
I'm not giving Jason Kidd none of the credit because I've been saying this for about three, 4 years.
Well, we can agree to disagree.
You know,
that's cool.
Because it was just like this. This is how I look at it. Now, I could be wrong. It's just my opinion. When you got, and I told Stacks this 2-3 years ago, I actually look at my stat sheet every day. Look, I said, he's playing Giannis, and he's playing Parker 22 minutes a game. I said, but he's averaging 12-5. He's averaging 13-6. Why is he playing both of these dudes 22 minutes a game? That made no sense to me. I said, Stacks, if he played both of these dudes at least 35-plus, you're looking at 20-5 between both of them. I told him that. Then you want to say, why come Jason Kidd doesn't get the credit? We're talking about Michael Carter Williams. Here's the rookie of the year.
That was my point.
With a terrible coach. So now he makes a trade. He gets rid of Brandon Knight, who was an all-star reserve, mind you, that year. He's all-star reserve. And everybody says, well, this is Michael Carter Williams. He averages, you know, he's 6 rebounds. He's 6 assists. He's like, Jason Kidd would be perfect for him. And what happened? The Bucks fell from being third in the East all the way down to 7 and got swept out of the first round of the playoffs. Did not make the playoffs the next year and got rid of Michael Carter Williams. He said he was the blame. They wouldn't got Greg Monroe. Greg Monroe is putting up the same amount of points he put up playing in Detroit in the same amount of minutes. But Jason Kidd has left the league believing the boy can't play. He was second in the league this year with double-doubles off the bench. But he's convinced the rest of the NBA Greg Monroe cannot play. That falls on Jason Kidd. We all, besides that, we all agree Jabari Parker is nice. Jason Kidd goes in front of the media and pretty much denounces Jabari Parker cannot play when he stands up and beats the leader of that team and saying we're not supposed to lose to Minnesota. And that was the coaching. Like, I don't know why he put dude in the game. He stands up and says what's right, and we all see it. Jason Kidd denounces that. So that's why I don't think he's a great coach. I can give you example after example. Like, dog, what is you doing? Like, why would you do that? That makes no sense. So
yeah, I mean, I can give you that's fair. I mean, and I don't disagree with any of those things necessarily, but you realize you can do that on any coach, including Popovich. Like, it's an 82-game season. There's going to be instances where coaches make head-scratching decisions, and a lot of them are for reasons that just by watching the games you can't necessarily understand 100%, but the coach has more knowledge of what's going on with the team than any fan does. So if a guy's not playing a certain amount of minutes, I mean, sometimes there's a reason for it. I'm not saying all the time there is, but I don't think you can just isolate a few examples and say, you know, I think, like, your overall track record has to count. He doesn't have a bad overall track record, does he?
This is my thing, right?
Like,
I'm going to go – it goes like this, right? A few years ago, and this is piggybacking off of both of you guys, right? What Lynx was saying with the 22 minutes a game, last year the Bucks underachieved. If you remember, a few years ago they was in the playoffs. They was doing good. They was cool. That's when Jason Kidd first got here. He was playing his veterans or whatever, what have you. He didn't play Parker and Giannis and his younger players in the fourth quarter. They never learned how to win and try to get over the hump. They never were in the trenches with those veterans. So last year when those veterans left and you left it up to Giannis and Parker and whomever to try to win in the trenches, they didn't know what they were doing. And that's when they got the bumps and the bruises that they should have gotten their first couple years. That's why you saw improvement this year. That's, to me, like I said, that's bad coaching. I'm not saying that he doesn't have good points about him. I'm just saying overall, Jason Kidd is not going to be the one that leads the Bucks to the water. That's just my opinion.
I can probably live with that. I'm not mad at that.
I feel like, honest to God, real talk, with the talent that the Bucks do have and they have acquired, I believe in 2 or 3 years they'll be that next team. They have that much talent. So when you made the point of what's around Anthony Davis compared to what's around right here with the Bucks, it's a very big difference because you have higher caliber players that play here than you do down in New Orleans.
No,
now,
I agree. There's no
you put Chris Paul down
there. They were injured last season, though. Middleton was hurt. Parker was hurt. They weren't healthy last year. Right.
Then you have a problem. You know what I'm saying? But you got to remember, New Orleans, Drew Holiday missed half of the season taking care of his wife. He had a kid. All type of stuff happened. So just, I mean,
right.
It is what it is. It's a lot of stuff. You know, it's a lot of things that can rock the boat on the NBA team. That's why I say on any given day you can win. On any given night you can lose. Anything is possible. So I don't believe in the super team bullshit, nothing like that. I mean, like I said, it is what it is. You feel me? Man. As far as that, I mean, we'll close that out. You know, we did that. The draft is in a few days, Thursday. Man, I know, you know, New York is I know that man has to run right quick. I want to give him a chance to, you know, give his last little thing. Man, the Celtics, they traded the number one pick. Man, how do you feel about that? New York, you still there, G? Man, I guess not. But, yeah, man. It's, like I said, the draft is Thursday. And obviously, you know, I don't look to the draft to see any superstar major players coming out to change the whole landscape of the NBA. I mean, what I do see with the move that Boston made is they acquired more picks to have more assets to trade. Like I said, I think they're going to make a run at Jimmy Butler. I think they're going to make a run at Blake Griffin. And I think they're going to make things a little bit more interesting than what they were. Man, shit, I know, like I said, the draft ain't much, but shit, Ryan, what you got coming out the draft? What, you know, how's it looking on your end?
Well, I think the most interesting thing is not even necessarily what's going to happen at number one. I mean, now I think that's a foregone conclusion now that Boston traded. I think you see Fultz go number one.
Right.
I mean, that's obviously been all over the reports. You know, Twitter, Yahoo, I think everybody's been reporting that Fultz is going one. I think the interesting thing, though, is, you know, can the Lakers actually pass on Lonzo Ball and the star power and the, you know, maybe the potential of Lonzo? I don't see the Lakers passing on Lonzo Ball.
Are you sold on his game, though?
I'm a fan of Lonzo Ball. Like, I'm not going to lie. If I was the Lakers, I wouldn't even think twice. Like, I think Lonzo Ball is perfect for what they're trying to do also. You know, they want to play up tempo. Mm-hmm. They got scorers already on that team. I feel like Lonzo can make their scores a lot better. I feel like Lonzo is going to be perfect for Brandon Ingram, perfect for Julius Randle. You know, he's unselfish. He's 6'6". He don't mind defending. Like, I think Lonzo Ball is going to be really good. Yeah, I'm sold on him being a really good player. Is he going to be LeBron or Kevin Durant? I mean, probably not, but nobody necessarily is LeBron or Kevin Durant. So, but I think he's going to be really good. I really do. You know, and I like the kid from Kentucky, too. Don't get me wrong. Like, they definitely you know, they definitely have a lot of competition as far as Lonzo and LeVar with going to L.A. because, you know, if you're just looking at straight basketball, I mean, you could talk yourself into Josh Jackson, you could talk yourself into Fox, but I think as far as, like, box office goes and star power and being out there in Los Angeles, I just think it makes too much sense for them to pass on him.
Right. I know, I will say this.
You know,
I'm not that sold on Ball's game right now. Pause. But I don't know. It feels like a disconnect. You feel what I'm saying? What he put up at UCLA, don't get me wrong, I respect more what he did than what Fultz did at Washington. I say that. But I don't know if it'll translate well.
The whole season?
Exactly. And that's another
right.
thing that I look at. I look at, like, last year, you know, I forgot the guy's name just that fast. I swear it slipped my mind. The guy that just got hurt, you know, with Philly. He played at LSU.
Ben Simmons.
They had a horrible season. There you go, Ben Simmons. Man, brain fart. But, yeah, Ben Simmons didn't carry LSU. I don't see how that translates to NBA talent. You feel what I'm saying? Like, there is no breakout players. Like Carmelo, he played 1 year at college. He won a national championship at college. You feel what I'm saying? The players that – and that's why I asked you earlier, did you see Brogdon play? Because he had Virginia there year in and year out, as if Michigan State was in his way. You know what I mean? And it translated to the league. I don't see where these players are there the next best thing, and they can't even win in college. Like, it's crazy to me. I mean, I see, man, Fox and I actually see Kennard from Duke. I see, man, greatness out of them. I don't know why. I could be wrong, but I see way better years and talent coming from them than I do Fultz and Ball and, you know, the upper echelon of the draft. So, I mean, that's just my opinion. Shit, Lynx, how you feeling about the draft, G?
I think the draft should be about a team getting complimentary players, not changing the franchise, because there's very few times that through the draft you really change the franchise. Like, maybe if you get, like, a decent player, then yeah. But as far as the players that's in it, I like dudes you mentioned from Duke, Luke Kennard. Yeah, the only thing about it, I think the Bucks are going to take them. And if they take them, then that would be a good move, because I hope they trade Dellen Adova because he's sorry as fuck. So I think that would be a good move. But I actually like Dennis Smith Jr. from North Carolina State. I think he's going to be something. Like, I think he's going to be something. Same thing I said about Russell. I think Russell is coming. I think he had, like, better talent. You could really see his passing and his ball court vision, because he's not afraid to go up against Steph Curry. He's not afraid to go up against Kyrie Irving. Like, we've seen him put up, you want to go for 30, I go for 30. You want to go for 40, I go
right.
for 40. You want to shoot threes out. Like, we've seen him step up and play decent defense and this, that, whatever, but when your supporting cast just doesn't fight with you, you know, it kind of, you know, hurts you in a sense. But other than that, I think wherever Ball goes, I think he's going to sell tickets for at least a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
If he's no all-rookie first team, because, like, he's already going to be in the all-star thing for the rookies. He's already in that. So I think, you know, he's going to sell tickets for at least a year and a half. And if they somehow get Paul George, now you got Russell, George, and him. And, you know, Randall and everything. So then let's say they win 47 games and make the playoffs. The hype will keep growing. You know what I'm saying? But other than that, I don't really see anything because of how the playoffs are set up right now. Like, the 76ers have, what, 8 or 9 number one, number two picks on the team, and they're garbage. You know what I'm saying? So I don't think the draft is really going to change that. Let's say you get a player, he comes out, and he's averaging 20 and 5. Okay, yeah, he's the best player. Is that player going to leave that team past Cleveland or Golden State or the Spurs? Or, like, nah. So, yeah, but those are the two players I really, really think is nice. If I have to go with a sleeper pick just to kind of keep it smooth, I would go with TJ Leaf from UCLA. I think he has it. So depending on where he goes, you know, I think he'd be all right. Like, I think he could be a diamond in the rough type shit. But other than that, I don't really see too much.
Word. Ryan, you back on, G?
Yeah, my bad. I'm not sure what happened. I'm back.
Yeah, no doubt. It actually kicked all of you guys off at the same time. It should have just left me. I don't know what happened either. Man, we was on the draft or whatnot. Did you have anything to finish up on? Because shit, we can wrap it up right now. You know what I'm saying? You got anything to add about the draft?
No, not necessarily. Like I said, I'm just interested to see if the Lakers pull the trigger on Lonzo. I think they should. Just real quick, last thing about the Paul George thing. I just retweeted something. I guess that Cavaliers beat reporter, you know, writer for the newspaper, he just basically said that Indiana wants a deal done before the draft on Thursday, and the Cavs are having multiple player talks with Indianapolis. So it sounds like that thing could move fast, whether it's to the Cavs or to the Celtics or whoever ends up getting his services. Sounds like that thing could be done on draft night potentially.
Right. Let me ask you this. Is Kyrie untouchable to you?
Yeah. Unless you're trading him for Anthony Davis, Kawhi Leonard, or Kevin Durant. I mean, other than that, there's nobody in the NBA I'd trade Kyrie for right now. I said that the other day.
Word.
I firmly believe that based off of his age and how good he is and how he's ascending for sure.
Okay.
Is Kyrie top five point guard? Let me ask you this right quick. Just yes or no? Is he top five point guard? And what number?
You're asking me?
Yep. What number?
Is Kyrie a top five point guard? Absolutely.
What number? Where does he fall for you?
I mean, you can't put him above Steph Curry. That would be idiotic, so I'm not going to do that, even though I'm a Cavs fan. I'm not stupid. I think Steph Curry is the best point guard. I would put Kyrie probably somewhere, I don't know, maybe three? You know, I guess you can argue. A lot of people are going to say Westbrook. Me personally, I'm not taking Westbrook over Kyrie. That's just me personally, though. I could see why people would. But two or three, I mean, it can't be no lower than there, I don't think.
All right, Lynx, I want to ask you a quick question right quick before we close it out. Your Clippers, man.
What up?
They got a lot of free agents, man. Hey, this could be either a make or break. They either going to fall apart or they're going to be something. What are you seeing, G?
Oh, they done. They done, man. They done. I live in reality. I ain't gonna sugarcoat it. They done. When,
right.
Which they brought in Jerry West. And if, truthfully speaking, I fired a coach. If I'm the owner, he should have pulled the trigger. I'm not saying they would have beat the Warriors, but they get out the first round, and they damn sure get out the second round. Fam, when Carmelo said he'd go to the Clippers. And when Phil Jackson said, I'm okay with not getting Chris Paul, DeAndre Jordan, or Blake Griffin, I'm okay with that. Just give me the garbage and I'm cool. And Doc Rivers said, okay, but throw in Courtney Lee. Phil Jackson, like, dude, what the
right.
fuck, man? I'm already giving you, you know, what he messed that up. I'm like, nah, man. So nah. So they done because you're looking at it now, they're already playing DeAndre Jordan. And if Blake Griffin stays, he's going to continue to be, you know, looked at as, oh, he's an underachiever because he's sacrificing to make DeAndre Jordan happy. People forget that DeAndre Jordan wanted to leave because he wasn't getting the ball and he wasn't blah, blah, blah. So he's sacrificing to keep him happy and it's hurting the team. So you're already paying
right.
him. You're going to pay out $2 million. Let JJ Reddy go. He ain't nothing without Chris Paul anyway. Without Chris Paul, he wasn't shit. He's going to not be shit once he doesn't have Chris Paul again. Yeah, they in trouble. If some way they can find a way to keep Blake Griffin and Chris Paul, they'll make the playoffs. But they won't get off the second round. And, you know, even if
right.
they're healthy, they won't get off the second round. So they need to trade. I'd trade DeAndre Jordan if I could. you know, to try to grab somebody or this, that, whatever, but they're dead in the water, man, because they don't have the – their core players is, what, 28 and up with DeAndre Jordan, Blake Griffin, Chris Paul, J.J. Redick, Jamal Crawford. Like, they're the Spurs, but they're undercoached and underachieved. So,
right.
Nah, they done. So, if Chris Paul leaves, they're done. If Blake Griffin leaves, they're done. If Doc Rivers stays, they're done. Like, I live in reality. So, still going to rock with them, though.
Okay, no doubt, no
they,
doubt.
They ain't doing nothing.
Yeah, you know, my whole thing, like, me and Link was having a phone conversation before the show, and I told him, I'm like, in 3 years' time, I just see, you know, I see the Lakers and I see Miami being the teams that are ahead of ahead of the game and whatnot. I see them making moves. I think, you know, next year, that's my biggest prediction is next year, those two teams are going to be interactive, you know, with LeBron James and Paul George. I think both of them, you know, end up in one of those spots. They could end up in the same spot. Who knows? But I think Miami and Los Angeles are the end all. This year, man, big things could happen. You know, any player movement could shift the league a lot. You know, Westbrook carried a whole team of shit, nuts, bolts, and ice cream sandwiches and shit in Oklahoma City, and they went to the playoffs. You add something to that, man, they could do some damage. You know, if they just get the right player, Boston, if they get the right player, it could be they ain't going to be losing by 50 to Cleveland. They'll be losing by 23. Like, man, shit. And matter of fact, shit, if Cleveland, they make the wrong move, do they fall back to the pack? Like, anything can happen, you know, and with the draft coming up and with these trades that's going on right now, everything is in the air. But, you know, that's why we had a show. We do, like, the year-end wrap-up and whatnot. We like to talk sports. We like to communicate with each other. As you saw, it was respectful. Even though, you know, some of the things we didn't disagree on, we weren't disrespectful towards one another. You know, this is the platform that we provide. And I enjoy it. I enjoy today's show. You know, I know New York had to cut out early. You know, he sends, you know what I'm saying, man, he sends, you know, his peace to everybody. Ryan, his phone cut off, he sends, you know, his peace to everybody. So me and Link's got the last word. You know, this is my brother right here. Man, I respect everything, you know what I'm saying, that we conversate about. And shit, it's because of him that we got the platform, you know what I'm saying. So, Link, I'm going to let you, you know, give some shout-outs right quick. Tell them where they can find you at, you know, on social media. You know, again, happy Father's Day. He is a real father, you know what I'm saying, taking care of his kids, taking care of business. So, man, salute that. Salute that, man. Salute all the real fathers in the world today. Cuz, shout them out, G. What you got?
Oh, man, you know, what's up, New York? Boy, Ryan came in. He did his thing. I appreciate him calling up, giving his input, you know, talking to the people. You know, man, I'm just working, man. Like, shout out to everybody who retweet, who call up, who, you know, give us inspiration to keep doing these shows, man. So, you know, shout out to everybody, man. Like, you know, hit me up, BigLinks414 on Twitter, BigLinks414 Instagram, you know, any topics, questions that's going on, you know, about what the show, like what we got working, because we're doing big things over here, man. So, you know, I just appreciate everybody, man. Today's debate was smooth. You know, we heard from a Cleveland fan. Then we heard, you know, from a Clipper. Like, we heard a little bit of everything. You know, East-West Conference and sports, you know, boxing, basketball. You know, a lot of references, a lot of biasness. You know what I'm saying? So, it's a little bit of everything, man. But I appreciate it because that's what you get. Like this is the perfect, quote-unquote, barbershop water cooler talk. And so, we're going to talk about it anyway. Let's just make it interesting for the people. So,
word, man, cuz, you know, I appreciate you, G. You know, the boy in New York, man, I appreciate cuz. You know, we go back and forth all the time. That's the young gun. Oh, yeah, he got a new battle out, too. Everybody go and check that out. Man, shit, that shit is moving fast. Like I said, New York is doing big things. Y'all stay in tune. His Twitter is I Trip Over Myself. You know what I'm saying? I believe that's his Instagram too. But yeah, you know what I'm saying? Stay in tune. Ryan, you can check him out at Ryan Martini 411 on Twitter. Ryan Martini 411 on Twitter. You know what I'm saying? Salute to him. Man, today's show was great, man. I highly enjoyed it. We'll be back soon. You know what I'm saying? We're gonna talk about the draft probably Friday or next Sunday, something like that. You know, New York might have something during the week. Other than that, you know, shout out to the homegirl Coco and shit. Shout out to the boy Psycho. You know, this is how we do. Other than that, man, we signing off, man. Y'all have a good night. I'm tired. I'm going to go get some rest. You know what I'm saying? Go get a drink or two. But, yeah, everybody, y'all be cool, man. Shit, I love you like you love me. Holla back.